Hello, California. Chief cook and bottle washer are on call. That'd be Mike Roy and Denny Bracken here on the receiving end of Hollywood 19911. Kimberly 71070 from Orange County, Yukon 11070 from the San Fernando Valley. And if you've got questions about cookery, dishes to blaze, and now is the time to call.
I had a very wonderful early evening soiree last night at the Cave de Roy.
You look like it might have been late into the evening.
No, as a matter of fact,
pleasant glow.
I was home for dinner at 7 o'clock.
You were?
But this was an early evening thing from 5 to 7 at the Cave de Roy, and we don't usually talk about private clubs on our show and the food, although some of the fine foods and wines are featured at private clubs here in Southern California.
Does this Cave de Roy have anything to do with Mike?
Not a thing. Not a thing. This is it's Cave de Roy.
Oh,
I beg Roy and French is king, you know.
And here is the king of cuisine. It all falls into place, Michael.
This is the Cave of the Kings, and a very lovely presentation last night of an old name with a lot of nostalgia about it. We were introduced to the first production, the new production, of the famous Schramsberg Champagne. Now, the Schramms were a family who, back in about the mid-1800s, about 1850 thereabouts, set up their winery up in the Napa Valley. Mm-hmm. They used coolie labor and set the caves way back in the Granite Hills, and probably the most extensive natural caves in America are there. There are only three wineries, including this one, who have natural cave. For Behringer wines are cave-aged, and Buena Vista wines are cave-aged.
And you mean literally cave-aged. There's
right,
a dark natural cave, and back
right.
In the cave is the
right
wine.
And they're about 150 yards deep, and they're as big as a normal room. They're huge, and they have the rack in there for aging champagne.
What's the difference between aging it in a cage or aging it in a vat somewhere?
The big advantage is constant temperature. A cave is the best.
I see.
That's why the French always use the caves for that reason. But this is a rich, richly traditioned background wine. The Schramsberg Winery up there was, for instance, a spot that Robert Louis Stevenson habituated and hung around for years. It was a favorite spot of his.
With all the champagne in the caves, I'd be liable to hang around here myself.
The Schramms, Jacob and Annie, started the famous Schramsberg Winery and... they've been at it ever since, Old House and so forth. But what makes this a particularly interesting story is that there are two young vintners who run this, Mr. and Mrs. Jack Davies, and they were both over at the Cave de Roy last night, mm-hmm. and they were pouring their vintage champagne. It's a premium price champagne, and a premium champagne, strictly Pinot Chardonnay grapes in it. It'll sell for about $6.50 a fifth. And it's a lovely, lovely champagne, one of the best I've tasted in a long time. All of us. Lois Dwan was there, and Raoul Birkenwald from the Santa Monica Outlook was there. He's quite an authority on wines and is very, very well informed on it. We all agreed the wine was lovely. But Jack and Mrs. Davies had been, he was primarily a packager and merchandising and marketing consultant. And he designed packages and bottles and things like that for appeal to the American public. And he got interested in wines, and he was associated with another winery. So then Mr. and Mrs. Davies agreed that they would just go to the farm country, the wine country, and find a spot. And they talked with their friends. Both of them are native-born Pasadenians. And they decided this is the kind of a life that they wanted with their children. And they looked and looked and looked, and they finally about given up. They weren't going to find the one spot they wanted until the real estate man finally said, well, there's one spot. He says, you probably won't like it, but I'll show it to you anyway. And that was it, and they bought it.
And they reside up there in and
around
the caves?
That's right, and they've taken out all the old rootstock and replaced it with brand-new grapes. And this is their first vintage. The 1967 is their first year. And this was done in 65, of course, so there's 2 years on the wine. And for a white wine, a champagne wine, that's fine enough age. Mm-hmm. Champagne doesn't necessarily improve with age after it's bottled the last time. Then it's in good shape. But it's quite a story of an enterprising American couple who decided to cast their lot on the farm after being reared in a city like Pasadena and adopt themselves. They restored the old house, which is a beautiful old thing.
It'd be an interesting place to visit, Michael. Do you know that if the public happens to be the area, whether we can pop in one of those caves?
This is true of almost everyone except Martin and Mrs. Ray. If you remember, we did a show from their winery. And this is in the same thing. But this is a young couple realizing their dream, and there's still room to dream in America, thank heaven. And they did it with fine wine. They served very, very lovely beluga caviar. with chopped onion.
Oh, stop it, will you?
And they brought little quiche Lorraines, individual things out of it from the kitchen over there. It was just lovely.
And then you went home to dinner.
And then I went home to dinner.
He's unbelievable. I tell you what I'm dreaming of. I'm dreaming of soft, fluffy towels, I am, and sparkling clean wash. That's the kind of dreams I have. I'm not well.
I'm really not well. You're just a little bit sick. But Mrs. Sherry Ellis, who writes me this letter about her experience with the Miracle White Fabric Softener, is thinking right to the line. She asked for her stain removal chart first. She says, I'd like also to say that being a young and very inexperienced homemaker, I've been confronted with every imaginable laundry problem. Now, your product has been a lifesaver and a money saving. That Miracle White Fabric Softener. Now, since we live in an apartment, the laundry room isn't very close. But with this softener, I don't have to watch the clock for the final rinse and dash madly to the laundry. Anyway, I wanted to say thanks to you for your products. And as you can tell, a devoted customer. Yours sincerely, Mrs. Sherry Ellis. Well, you'll say the same kind of things. It's only natural to assume that people hate that dash back to the machine at midpoint at the rinse cycle to add the ordinary fabric softener. But the results are what counts, because Miracle White Fabric Softener is concentrated, and it's a first-in fabric softener. You add it to the wash water along with the soap or the detergent or any other additive, and then walk away and forget it. It's that good. And then you get a new softness for your entire wash. Softness through both the wash and all the rinse cycles, and no waiting for the final rinse. Now you merely add the Miracle White to the wash water and forget it. You'll find that you'll get less suds because Miracle White Fabric Softener has a special suds leveler to stop high suds which clog your washing machine. And it ends the static cling in blouses and slips. And your iron actually glides over the clothing as you do it. So you'll have softer, more absorbent towels. And if you have an infant in the house, diapers are soft and absorbent too. It's sold on a double your money back guarantee, so how can you go wrong? That's Miracle White Fabric Softener, and it's at your store now.
I'm going to have some of that champagne and change my dreams. Mrs. Pellet, good morning. KNX here, and your question.
Good morning, sir, and a happy holiday to both of you. And
thank you.
For a lovely Thanksgiving dinner, which we tried.
Isn't it crazy how that recipe works?
Oh, it just worked beautifully.
And you don't have to bother with it.
Not a bit.
Nah.
Not a bit. Now, my question is this. I'm using my mother's Hungarian Nussenstrudel recipe, a nut roll, in other words.
Yeah.
And I have baked it formally in an enameled pan. Now I'm going to use glass. And my question is, how much should the temperature be cut down in an electric oven?
At least 25 degrees.
It says bake it in a moderate oven, so that would be about 300 instead of 325?
That's right, in glass.
Very good. And then I've always baked it the week before or Christmas week.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm on vacation and I'm baking it now. How best to store it?
You have a freezer?
Yes, sir.
It'll freeze beautifully.
Should I wrap it in saran and foil?
Either one.
Either one?
Uh-huh. I think that the saran is tougher, but foil is good either, so long as you don't puncture it.
I see.
Yeah, that's your big problem. You can wrap it in foil and then in saran if you want to. That would protect it even more.
Very good. And happy holidays to both of you, and thank you so much.
Thank you again,
ma'am. Bye. One of our favorite people here, Michael. Maude, good morning. What's your question?
And good morning and the warmest and best wishes.
I bet you've got your English plum pudding all simmering already.
What?
Have you got your English plum pudding simmering already?
I don't like it.
Neither do I. Isn't that funny?
I'll tell you what I want to ask you. I have to make 2 quarts of boiled custard. Now, I don't like it too runny. I want it fairly firm, so that means whole eggs. Now, my arithmetic is absolutely deplorable, and I want to know if you'll come to my rescue. How much milk shall I need? And how many yolks of eggs? How many whole eggs? And if you'd like to add the sugar, then...
How much do you need altogether now?
2 quarts.
2 quarts.
And should I cook it in separate batches?
I tell you, no, you could use a restaurant recipe about it.
It's a good recipe.
Uh-huh.
I make it often, you know, with eggs, but I can't do it that amount. I just boggle at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much to use in it, you know.
All right. Do you like to... Do you like to do the oven?
No.
No, you want to boil it?
It's on the top, over water, you know.
Over water, all right. I think that for this amount, you're going to need about, for 2 quarts?
Yeah.
That's 8. I would use 10 cups of milk.
10 cups of milk?
Mm-hmm.
And how many yolks of eggs? And how many whole eggs?
I would use a dozen eggs.
Well, how will you divide those up?
Well, are you going to make this all at one time?
Well, that's what I say. Should I do it in 2 or 3 bags?
No, are you going to make this all in one?
No, I want to know. Wouldn't it be easier to make it in 2 batches?
Well, it may be properly done. The recipe I have is 4 times a 2.5 cup recipe. Let me give you the 2.5 cup recipe.
Yes. All right.
All right.
And that's what that.
All right. You should use 3 or 4 eggs for each one.
This is 2.5 cups.
Yes.
Well, I've got that, but I can't work that up to a quart.
All right.
I mean.
Well, that's what I was doing for you.
Yes, well,
you take a dozen egg yolks.
Yes.
And a cup of sugar.
Yes.
About a 1/2 teaspoon of salt.
Yes.
And 1.25 quarts of milk.
1.25 quarts.
Mm.
Oh, yes, that's what I really didn't want to know.
How
many whole eggs in this dozen?
I would use about 8 whole eggs and 4 egg yolks.
8 whole eggs, would you really?
Yes, and 4 egg yolks.
Oh, and 4 egg yolks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear.
That's all right.
And that will do it, then.
That's right, and you do this over hot water. You don't have the top of the double boiler sitting in hot water.
Yes, I do.
Do it over it.
Just over it, yes.
That's right.
Now, would you make it in sort of 2-pint batches?
Well, I'd make it all at once and pour it, and then...
You'll make it all at once, then I'll have to sort of improvise a thing over...
I see what your problem is. You want to cut the... You want to make about 1 quart at a time.
I think so, or even less. It'd be easier.
Well, then, for that...
Provide all this. That is 4 egg yolks.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 whole eggs. Will that make it very stiff?
You'll make it quite stiff.
I don't want it quite stiff. Suppose I put 6 egg yolks.
There you go.
All right,
that'll work.
And 6 whole eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Thank you very much. And 1.25 quarts.
Yeah, now you can use 1 teaspoon of vanilla or rum or sherry or a little grated lemon rind or a little nutmeg for flavoring.
Well, wait a minute. 10 cups of milk and 1.25 quarts. Milk you put.
That's right. That 10 cups or 1.5 quarts are the same thing.
Equals, I see. It's in a cup of sugar.
That's right.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very good.
And you know you've saved my life.
All righty. Wonderful, Maud.
Without you.
Very good.
I'd have a wonderful time.
Thank you, ma'am. Maud Pickett.
Boy, she's one that she gets excited about these things. You
she
know,
comes up with a darndest right. Boiled custard.
Very famous, an old-time type recipe.
But plum pudding, negative.
Huh? She doesn't like it. I don't blame her. I don't particularly care for it either.
I mean, I used to enjoy plum pudding. Isn't that stuff you pour the brandy on and set
it
aflame?
That's right, or a hard sauce, you know. And but it's pretty heavy, and, you know, I'd rather have something light than something.
Anyway,
incidentally, have you been in a Ralph's grocery recently?
No, not recently, Mike.
They got the holiday boots on out there. They're all decorated up and all the goodies are there, and they've got all the trimmings now. And we're at the planning stage for the Christmas season. As a matter of fact, starting next week when we get into December, we'll do the 12 cooking days of Christmas in the first 12 days. I thought.
You're going to cook a partridge and a pear tree and all
that's
that?
That's right.
Sort of
we'll
cook.
Go with a partridge and a pear tree, and we'll do the 12 days of Christmas, but we'll do the 12 cooking days of Christmas in the first days of September. So you'd have we'll have some goodies, some hors d'oeuvres and appetizers, and we'll have some punches, and maybe we'll have a wassail bowl.
And this would be the 12 days before Christmas, huh?
That's right. That's for the serving, but we'll do the broadcasting the first 12 days of December.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's getting through to me.
You got it? And you'll need to go to Ralph's because they've got all the glacé nuts and all the goodies that are there and all the typical Christmas things. And the whole store takes on a very nostalgic and holiday mood. And before we get through, we'll all have the Christmas spirit. And they have that in bottles at Ralph's, too, at a fair price. So don't forget, Ralph's. Where they feature Meat Master Process, and that's the store for all your Christmas shopping.
It's a good thing I turn up for this program every morning so I can find out what's going on.
Yeah. Right.
This is KNX and KNX FM, 1070 Radio, CBS, Los Angeles. Mike Roy Show, until high noon, and if you have a question about cookery, you're but a phone call away.
Know what that is? That's the sound of the invisible vegetables simmering and blending in Campbell's Vegetable Soup. There are 16 delicious vegetables in it, but you may not count that many. Those you don't see are simmered deep down into the beef stock to make the soup richer and mellower. Campbell's Vegetable Soup. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
Gurgle, gurgle.
I just realized I told Maud a lie. I said a quart and a half of milk was 10 cups. It's 6 cups.
Maud, are you listening? 6 cups or a quart and a half.
Right.
Huh? All right. Mrs. Schmeezing, good morning to you. And your question, please.
Yes, thank you, Denny. Mike, I wanted to ask you, I so frequently cook a flank steak in wine and butter, broiling it under the fire. I wanted to find out if you knew anything else other than stuffing in using a flank steak.
Well, just the broiling that you mentioned, if you spread it out flat, and it should, this is authentically the way they make a teriyaki steak. And if you took the Kikkoman teriyaki sauce, for instance, and marinated your flank steak in that.
How long would you marinate?
Oh, 3 or 4 hours. And add a little oil to the teriyaki sauce.
Oh.
And then let it stand 3 or 4 hours at room temperature, and then you broil it real fast, a real hot broiler, mm-hmm. and the meat about 2-3 inches away,
mm-hmm.
about 3 or 4 minutes on a side.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you slice it, you cut it on a diagonal or on the bias, as they say.
That's what I do with the wine and the butter.
That's right.
And, fine, I'll try that then. I never thought of the Kikkoman.
Uh-huh, that's the great way.
Well, fine, thank you very much, Mike, and we like your program here.
Very good.
Thank you, ma'am.
As a matter of fact, that Kikkoman is a thing you want to think about more and more because it's a new way of cooking, really, for most Americans. Most of us are not familiar with it, yet... Those of us who have been following things culinary and walked that path all our lives have been aware of Kikkoman for years. And you get a great subtlety of flavor, and it's just great on everything, like chicken or steak or chops or spare ribs or roast or fish. And just let them marinate in that Kikkoman teriyaki sauce or Kikkoman soy. Now, you can embellish this. You can gild this lily a little bit if you'd like with maybe a little grated fresh ginger, a little oil, a little garlic, a little sherry wine. All of them help along. And... again, you've got great American flavor. You just can't beat it. Just brush it on. Kikkoman is the name, and it's at your store right now.
Mrs. Selby, good morning to you, ma'am, and your question for Mike, please.
Good morning, Denny and Mike. I have a problem about New Year's Eve. I may be a little bit early, but here I go.
This is the time to consider those problems. Really, it is. If more people did their thinking and organized and made notes and so forth, they'd have a whole lot less work to do during the Christmas season.
Well, after 12, I'm having Junior's Delicatessen make up a cold meat to their cold meat platters and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to be making my own chicken salad and 2 molded salads, and we'll have dessert. Now, my problem is, from 9 till 12, what can I serve that won't conflict with this to serve with champagne punch and?
The things that go with champagne punches and, I'd have nut cups around with all kinds of salted nuts. Little trays of cookies are appropriate. And you can do dips are the handy thing, although I sometimes think we overwork the dips. But you can use little trays of cheese cut in squares with toothpicks in them. And if you wanted one piece as kind of an appetizer to that, and you've got the money, a nice shrimp bowl. You know, lots of cooked shrimp with a big, with a lot of toothpicks around and a couple of different dips for the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have relish dips and of one kind or another, or vegetable dips, celery, cauliflower buds, and make a mayonnaise sauce to dip those with.
Cauliflower buds.
Yeah, in other words,
how do you make those, Mike?
They're just wash the cauliflower and break them into little buds.
Yes.
Break it down, and that's all there is to it. They're done raw, and they're delightful as a dip.
Can you use the frozen cauliflower, or would fresh be?
No, you should use fresh for that.
And then you dip it in mayonnaise?
Yeah, and if you want to add a little Worcestershire to the mayonnaise or a little mustard to the mayonnaise, fine.
Oh.
And it makes it very, very good. And this is true of if you want to put some raw cucumber strips along with that, or celery. And if you want to make a dip out of mayonnaise that's been seasoned, or sour cream that's been seasoned, fine.
Oh, fine.
It gives you a fresh vegetable dip, as it were.
Oh, great. That'll be fine. And while I'm on the air, usually I'm working, but I'm off work today, and I don't get a chance to listen to you very often. Is there a possibility that Swap Shop's coming back on?
Denny is the man that'll answer that question.
Danny?
No, ma'am.
No?
The possibility is so remote that it's hardly worth considering, I'm afraid.
Aw. all.
Tell you what you can do, though. Drop a line to the management.
Okay. I will.
You got something to swap?
No, to sell.
Oh, okay. Right.
Doesn't everybody? I miss it myself. I'd drop a line to the management.
It was fun and you were great.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. And if I don't get on before, then have a very happy Christmas and a happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you. Mrs. Pena, good morning to you and your question, please.
Oh, hi, Mike. My turkey might grow away, but I've got a pint of fat or butter drippings or something.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do with it?
Well, all you can do with it is make more gravy.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I steam some rice and I put a tablespoon in there. And
you'll get a little flavor of it.
Yeah.
But that's about that kind of thing is all you can do.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Okie doke. Enjoy your program.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Using your method, Mike, we have about a quart and a half of gravy. And to keep it in the refrigerator, golly, you can use it on almost anything.
That's right. Oh, and delicious. We use it for all kinds of things. And, of course, those hot turkey sandwiches are great.
Mm. Yeah. It's so much turkey, put a little in the coffee.
All right. Well, the coffee is rich enough anyway if you got a couple of actors around to really make it richer.
There's a cue.
John Bickerson, get your head out of that paper and eat your breakfast. Your orange juice is getting cold.
I hate hot orange juice. What'd you do to this coffee, Blanche?
What's wrong with it?
You forgot to make it bitter like you always do.
I didn't forget anything. I put Coffee Rich in it.
What's that?
It's a new non-dairy liquid creamer. It takes the bitterness out of coffee.
Coffee Rich, huh? Sounds expensive.
It doesn't cost nearly as much as cream, and it stays fresh in the refrigerator for 3 weeks. So, no waste.
No waste.
You don't just use it in coffee. Coffee Rich is marvelous on cereal, too, and fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, wouldn't hurt you to get rid of that spare tire around your waist.
That's not a spare tire. It's just my posture.
Well, you can stand a few inches off your posture. Coffee Rich has fewer calories per ounce than cream.
Just stop babbling and pour me another cup of that Coffee Rich.
You want to drink it plain?
Well, can it hurt me?
Of course not.
Well, then why should I spoil it with your coffee?
Free with Coffee Rich, famous make color film. See the Coffee Rich carton in your Vons Market freezer for this terrific offer.
I'll tell you what I'm laughing at. Mike's lying just before we went back on the air. I'm not going to give up a quarter inch of my posture.
Yeah.
Mrs. Tobin, good morning to you. Kay and Axon, your question, please.
Yes, I was given about 15 large-sized pomegranates.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if there is anything, syrup or jelly or sauce or something that I can do with them, because that's an awful lot of pomegranates to eat.
Well, that's right. Yes, you can make pomegranate syrup, which is a very, very lovely type of thing, you know. Press them out and to get the pulp out of them.
Yes.
And bring them to a boil and then go ahead and put them through a jelly bag, you know.
What proportion of sugar or would I need?
Well, almost to taste.
Just to taste?
Uh-huh.
It isn't too tart.
No, just to taste. And then you can make peach melba with it, you know, and you could use them in drinks of all kinds. It's a very refreshing taste, as you probably know.
Yes, we like the flavor of the pomegranate, but I don't want these to waste, and we can't consume that many.
Now, of course, you have seeds in this too that they make a pretty garnish.
Yes,
and then of course, you don't want to bruise the seed kernels, because that's where you get your bitterness.
So I boil them first and then gently press them through a...
That's right. So you get the pulp going to make your syrup. And be careful with them, because that's the one spot where you get in trouble is with the seeds, but that's where you do get your flavorings.
Will I put any water in to begin with to bring it to a boil a little bit?
Just a little bit. Just enough to get it started so you don't burn it, and that's all.
Yes. All right, then. I think I know how.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Mrs. Saratielde, good morning to you, ma'am, and your question.
Thank you. I'm planning a family cocktail buffet party for a recently married member, and I wanted a little help with the menu. I had thought that I might serve a beef stroganoff and rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was concerned, too, with whether we could have a punch before a dinner like that, or whether we should serve drinks and liqueurs with the cake.
I tell you this, that by and large, most men prefer drinks. Yes. They're not generally punch lovers.
I know. It doesn't sound good to go with a dinner.
That's right. And although a punch is appropriate, if you'd like to serve it, a champagne punch would be good.
Yes, if I were just having...
That's right. But I think you'd be smarter to serve drinks.
I see.
Now, I tell you, there's a thing that I did and have used. I haven't used it recently, but I think I've been thinking about it and thought I'd do it again. If you go to the chemical supply house where they supply chemical equipment for laboratories,
uh-huh.
You can look them up. They make a beaker, this big, tall one. You know, the thing must be about a foot and a half high, and it's about 2 inches around.
Uh-huh.
And if you take these and you make your martinis or Manhattans or screwdrivers or any of the cocktails. And then put these big glass beakers in a wine cooler. You know the wine jugs?
Yes.
The wine coolers with ice. Then you don't have to be making these drinks all the time.
Awesome.
And people can kind of pour their own. You leave them sitting around.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and,
good idea.
And it works real good. And then you can have olives and onions sitting around if you're going to. This is what you want to serve.
Yes, I was going to have the hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, now your menu sounds delightful for me. I always think the stroganoff is good. It holds well, you know.
Yes, and it can be served nicely in a...
That's right. Mm-hmm.
...chafing dish. One thing I wanted to ask, in cooking rice for 20 to 25 people, now can I... bake it.
Now, let me tell you how to do this so you can't fail with it. You start by boiling it.
Yeah.
You boil it, in other words, about 6 or 7 minutes in a lot of water, like you're making spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
And then strain it, you know,
yeah.
Using a big strainer.
Uh-huh.
And then put some water in the bottom of the pan and set the strainer on up on the ledge, you know. If I'm making this, if I'm articulating this idea properly so you can see what I'm talking about.
Is it get a pan big enough?
Well, the idea is you want to steam the rice.
I see.
Now, you use a Dutch oven for this, and if you have that big, I think it's a 4-quart strainer. You know, it's a wire mesh strainer.
Yes.
That big one.
Uh-huh.
When you strain your rice in that.
Yeah, Dutch oven.
Yeah, the Dutch oven. Mm-hmm. And you can put the top on it, just tilt it to the side so that a little of the steam can escape. And then if you steam this rice, after you've started boiling it this way, for that big a crowd, you'll find that it'll be separate and good.
I see. Now, you put the lid on so the steam can escape or can't?
Just a little bit of it escapes. Just kind of off-center, you know.
Now, what quantities would I need for that number?
Well, you figure you're going to get 4 servings out of a cup of rice.
Pardon me?
If you're going to get 4 servings out of a cup of rice. So that'll go ahead and multiply it out.
I see. And let's see. If I was thinking too of making a large kind of fancy green salad.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. And I'd rather see you go with a platter of marinated tomato slices and mushrooms, if you like to do that,
mm-hmm.
or artichoke hearts or this thing. I tell you why. When I get a plate with rice and stroganoff on it, and I have to put tossed green salad on the plate, and I get the gravy on the tossed green salad, I don't like it.
I see your point.
Whereas if you have marinated vegetables like that or some kind of a salad of that kind.
I see.
That's what made me develop that sombrero salad, which is cooked cauliflower coated with guacamole and set up with tomato and cucumber salads, slices, so it looks like a hat.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome. Have a happy time, man. What run those beakers cost, Mike? About $4 or $5, probably?
No, about $3. They're not expensive.
And you've got it forever. That's a great idea. Coming up on 16 minutes until high noon, we ought to say hi to the small world.
Here. Yeah. You know, I got looking through. We've always talked about their sandwiches and how good they sound when you talk about their dinner specials. But they have a beautiful, beautiful dinner over there. Now, for instance, from their broily, they have a teriyaki kikkoman shoyu. Shoyu is soy. And kikkoman, they think enough of the product to put it right on their menu. Tenderloin of beef, whole water chestnuts, mushroom caps, marinated in kikkoman and sake and served with rice and vegetable.
Mm.
Kind of titillate your taste buds
there
a bit.
That does something for me, yeah.
They have grenadine of beef, mande petite, 3 slices of filet of beef sautéed in butter, sliced mushrooms, claret wine, glazed with bordelaise sauce, served with a baked potato and vegetable.
Would you like to swap that for a turkey sandwich that I happen to have in my brown bag for the day?
Those are just some of the dinner items on the menu at the Small World, which is... really more than a restaurant. It's actually a beautiful restaurant and emporium. And it's a welcome haven during the hectic Christmas shopping season. Its dining room offers a relaxing respite for the foot-weary and the hungry. For luncheon, a fabulous gourmet open-face sandwich. 50 kinds from all over the world. And then cocktails, and don't forget for late supper after you've been visiting Santa Claus Lane and watching Kris Kringle with his guest star right up Hollywood Boulevard. You can have an exciting time Christmas shopping in the Small World Emporium, too. It's loaded with new gifts and novelties and art objects and decorator items and housewares from any different land. Real holiday fun to shop and dine at the Small World. It's convenient, too. 1625 North Coanga Boulevard, just a half block south of Hollywood Boulevard. Now, if you're interested in the phone number for reservations, the number is 464-2133. That's 464-2133.
Mrs. Marcus, good morning to you. And your question, please.
Hello?
Yes.
I want to know if I have some stuffed cabbage that I made from frozen venison and beef a year ago. I wonder if I can still use it or I should throw it away. I had it frozen all the time.
If it's been frozen all the time, it'll probably be delightful. It may lose a little flavor, but it certainly will be safe.
You sure that it was made out of frozen meat to start with?
Won't make a bit of difference. You've cooked the meat and it's all right.
It'll be all right.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Vogel, good morning to you and your question.
Good morning. My cousin's having a bar mitzvah pretty soon. As a matter of fact, it's this Sunday. That's reception, at least. And I was wondering if I could make a punch that's kind of easy for about 27 kids.
This is for kids now.
Right.
All right, I will give you a fruit punch. And this is an old Scandinavian one.
Good.
Now, you'll need 10 cups of sugar.
Yeah.
10 cups of water.
Uh-huh.
2 dozen lemons.
Right.
1 dozen oranges.
Uh-huh.
1 cup of pineapple juice.
Uh-huh.
1 cup of grapefruit juice.
Uh-huh.
And 2 cups of grape juice.
Phew.
All right. Now you grate the you squeeze out the juice of the oranges and the lemons, grate the rinds first. And you know, and you make a syrup. You take the water and the sugar and the rind of the oranges and lemons.
Uh-huh.
And you boil those together 10 minutes.
Right.
Then you cool it.
Uh-huh.
And then you add the juices of the lemons and oranges and the rest of the juices.
Uh-huh.
And that's an old Scandinavian fruit punch, and I think everyone will like it.
Thanks.
All righty. Thank you for calling and your interest, too.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, Mrs. Lerner. Good morning to you. Your question.
Is this Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, it's so good talking to you. I just want to say I enjoy your program so much.
You're very kind. Thank
and,
you.
My problem is this. I'd like to have a Polynesian dinner this Saturday night, and I cannot find a recipe for lobster or shrimp curry that doesn't require cooking the fresh fish first to get the stock from it. I wondered if there's a real good recipe where I can just use fresh shrimp or lobster.
Where did you get the idea that a curry fit with a Polynesian dinner?
Well,
I mean, you're welcome. I think you can serve it.
I call it Polynesian. We just got back from Hawaii, and we had such marvelous curried lobster over there. And so we kind of wanted to have, like, a luau-type thing Saturday night. And I wanted to serve curried lobster.
Very good. That makes sense.
So that I thought it was Polynesian, though. I really did.
No, the curry comes from India. But are you sure that it was curry, or was it a satay powder, S-A-T-E?
No, it was called curry.
Ah, all right.
On the menu.
Yes, I think you could do this and you could cheat and get away with this. Where your recipe calls for stock, use one of the canned chicken broths. Campbell's now have one, you know?
They do have
a chicken consomme.
Oh, the chicken consomme?
Yeah.
Instead of the
stock
from the fish?
That's right.
Is that right?
You can get away with it because your fish will flavor it enough anyway. And I say the knowledge of the palates that'll be at your place won't be able to distinguish that fine a difference.
Well, now, can you give me a recipe for lobster curry?
Well, what I would do is take the lobster meat. And I would saute this. I would start with a little butter and oil mixed half and half.
What, just any kind of oil or olive oil?
I would use vegetable oil, peanut oil, or any one of the vegetable oils.
All right.
And half and half with butter. That gives you, that cuts your smoke, raises the smoke point.
I see.
And your butter won't burn then.
And saute my lobster in half butter and half vegetable.
Along with, and sprinkle it well with curry powder and paprika.
With curry powder.
And half
paprika. Paprika.
Half and half.
Right.
Now you can add some onion to this if you'd like.
Add saute the onions.
Yes, that's right, and a little garlic.
And a garlic.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And chopped, you know, real fine.
Uh-huh.
And then when it got to be you know, nice and done, yes. You know, and the curry powder has cooked. Now don't have the fire too hot because you don't want to scorch the paprika.
Oh, all right. Over
very fine.
Time, then.
Then you can add your cream, if you'd like, half and half.
Add half and half.
Uh-huh, to get the liquid for it.
Well, how much half and half would you say?
Well, it depends on how you... I'm talking about a couple of lobster tails here, and starting with a couple tablespoons of oil, a couple tablespoons of butter, and maybe a tablespoon of paprika and a tablespoon of curry, if you like it that strong.
One tablespoon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of like
it. And then 2 cups of half and half for that amount. Now, you can double this recipe.
2 cups half.
Now, you should add a touch of nutmeg to it, just maybe 1/8 teaspoon.
Touch of nutmeg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, if you want to go to the point where, are you going to add the apples and the raisins and the chutney?
Well, that will be served on the side.
All right. Very good. The coconut.
And all of that.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
What you have is a good basic curry there.
And do I just serve that over plain white rice now? Is that...
That's right.
Wild, not wild rice.
Oh, no. Just what?
And what would be a good salad? Would you serve a fruit salad preferably with that? I mean, just...
Oh, yes.
Fruit, or would you have a tossed green salad?
Either one would be appropriate, and either one would go well.
Okay, very good then. Well, and that's 2 lobster tails.
That's for 2 lobster tails.
Australian lobster.
Is it yes.
Frozen or fresh?
Either one. Doesn't make a difference.
Well, gee, thanks a million.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Aloha, ma'am.
Aloha.
Yeah.
That recipe happened to be in your cookbook, Mike?
No, as a matter of fact, a lobster curry is a Polynesian thing, but I've got lobster recipes in my cookbook. Now, I'm talking now about the old cookbook, the original cookbook. We have a chicken Hawaiian with orange rice and fried ripe tomatoes. It makes a nice luau-type dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a roast loin of pork with fruit and mandarin vegetables and yams grand marnier in this cookbook.
You've been to the islands, haven't you?
That's right. Yeah. But we go all the way through. We have beef tornadoes with béarnaise sauce and saffron rice and stuffed tomatoes again. And, of course, there are sherbets in here and some wonderful salads and a complete chapter on sauces and some great soups, both hot and cold, to say nothing of the various hors d'oeuvres like the scampi and the marinated beef slices. Maybe you'd like the lobster tornadoes a la Roumelade à la Indienne. That's a beautiful recipe. And these are all the fine recipes in the Mike Roy Cookbook, number 1. If you don't have a copy, or if you'd like to buy copies for your Christmas list, now is the time to order them direct from us. We'd be very happy to send them to you. It sells at $1.95 for the paperback and $3.95 for the hardcover. Those are both plus tax. So to order your cookbook, send $2 for the paperback or $4 for the hardcover to Cookbook, Post Office Box 1791, Hollywood 28, California.
Would you repeat that address, please?
Cookbook, Post Office Box 1791, Hollywood 28. And you ought to buy a couple of dozen to send to your friends.
They're fun reading, too. There's more than just recipes in there. There's some of Mike Roy's own personal philosophy. And it's very enjoyable reading, as well as very practical in the kitchen. Bonjour, Mr. Duval. Your question, please.
I am in the process of making a birthday cake, and I would like to get a recipe for the frosting that's similar to the type you put on wedding cakes.
Those are buttercream, what they call buttercream frostings. Is that the one you're talking about?
I guess that's, you know, the kind that you usually find on a wedding cake.
Yes, that's a very simple recipe. You can take butter at room temperature,
mm-hmm.
and for a stick of butter, 1/4 pound, a couple of cups of sifted powdered sugar,
mm-hmm.
and take your beater with a small bowl,
mm-hmm.
and beat these in, and moisten it to consistency with a little egg white, if you'd like. Just a little egg white,
uh-huh.
or you could use water, and then it should be seasoned perhaps with 1 teaspoon of vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's all there is to it. If it gets starts to get a little hard on you, add more moisture to it.
Okay.
Just a simple buttercream. If you want to make a chocolate, you know, you can add chocolate squares to it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much, Mike.
All righty. Very good.
Hey, 5 till noon and the soup's on here.
Listen. That's the sound of Campbell's vegetable beef soup being simmered and blended. It has beef you see and beef you don't see. The beef you don't see is simmered deep down into the heart of the soup, so the good beef broth is good beefy broth. And the beef you do see is tasty and tender. Campbell's vegetable beef soup, the vegetable beefier soup.
Ms. Herron, good morning to you. KNX here, and your question, please.
Yes, I want to ask about a fruitcake recipe I have here that calls for 7 pounds of fruit. Now,
yes.
Two of them are raisins, two are currants, and then there's 3 pounds of mixed fruit, pineapple, and cherries.
Yes.
Now, we don't care for the currants at all, and not that many raisins. Is there anything I can I substitute with dates or more mixed
fruits? Yes, you can do with any mixed fruits or dates.
And it is not going to make any difference in the texture of my fruitcake?
Not at all.
Not at all. And just if I want to take dates and a little more mixed fruit, that's...
Try it. You might try some sultanas, you know, the golden raisins.
Yes. Now, that sounds good. This is an old recipe I got that's 50 years old from the Northern Pacific, and I have never made it. I just was in possession of it.
One of the problems you run into with some of those, I don't think it makes much difference in fruitcake. But one of the things, those old recipes were built for the flours that existed and the way they milled flours.
Uh-huh. Well, and they've been making this recipe every day now for 50 years.
All right, then they've allowed for it, and it's all right.
But at the bottom it says caution, stick to the directions and don't improvise.
That's right. Well, I wouldn't add any, but I think you can change your fruits all right.
Oh, okay, thank you very much.
Very good.
Would it help to... We'll put a squeegee or two of Pam on the fruitcake pan there. And
oh, it helps put it on anything. Yeah. Gee, you know, going around the stores and meeting women and talking about them, and boy, do they shout the praises of Pam, especially after a big cooking day like Thanksgiving, when you have casseroles galore and everything else. And after all the work and after all the eating, who's in the mood to do dishes? Well, you do them in a breeze if you've used Pam on your pans first. Because Pam is a pure vegetable coating that stops food from sticking. Now, before you do any cooking, well, cold or hot. When I say cold, I'm talking about Jell-O molds, and now we're in the season for Bavarian creams and all kinds of happily decorated Jell-O molds of all kinds. Spray them with Pam. The fruit comes out, nothing to it, just slick as a whistle.
You remember I told you that I was going to spray our oven with Pam?
Uh-huh.
Gas oven. My wife wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it.
I got to find
stubborn
out about
broad.
That.
I don't know why. She just said, well, no, what ridiculous thing. And I said, all right, you clean up the oven. And she did. She had to go in there with
the
Brillo and the sponge.
That's
but I think it's a great idea.
I got to find out to be sure there's no danger there. I've got to ask the Pam people. I'll be talking with them one day this week. But Pam does have so many uses. You better get acquainted. Use it for frying, baking, roasting, practically everything. You try Pam yourself. You'll never want to cook without it. That's Pam. It's available at your favorite food store. We got time for a 1 minute?
I think we do. You want to hold off on spraying it in the gas oven, do you?
That's right.
Until you check it out.
Until
okay.
We get it fully checked out.
Ms. Grove, we got about a moment or so. Your question, please.
Yes. Could you suggest something to serve at a buffet, like in a chafing dish with noodles or rice or something, besides beef stroganoff?
Oh, gosh, there's all kinds of things you can serve with that. One of the pretty ones is lobster Newberg,
mm-hmm.
or shrimp Newberg.
Yeah.
Or a scampi is a lovely dish to serve. With a seafood department.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of chicken a la king, creamed dishes of one kind or another like that,
mm-hmm.
done with a wine sauce. There's so many things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's given you a little bit of a starter.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. And it's time for us to start for lunch.
That's right. I'm going down to see the Bridgeford people today, down to Anaheim.
You've been promising that for 2 weeks now. You're really going to
deliver.
Today's
the day. We got rained out last week.
Okay. And I'm going to have a turkey sandwich. Afternooner begins at 1:10. Hope you'll be around on the receiving end of 1070 Radio for a listen. Noon Hour News is next in just a moment on KNX. KNX FM, 1070 Radio, CBS. Yes?
You're the only man I know who brags about afternooners.
Los Angeles.